Blog Talk Radio.
These conspiracy theories, they're one of those things that I don't know much about, but I guess that is a different perspective. I'm more of the uneducated person's point of view on it, like in Ghostbusters where they brought in Winston. I'm the one who's not a scientist talking about this, and if I think something's crazy, I'm just going to call it crazy without doing a lot of research on it. I can admit that.
Oh, but that's okay, because you know, there are not very many scientists that actually believe in these conspiracy theories. You have some that are out there, and again, that's their prerogative. I can't tell anyone what to believe or what not to believe. All I ask you to do is research it, and if you feel that we are in error, please bring it to our attention, and I'll be happy to look it over. We've been having this discussion, you know, for a while now, for a little bit over a month. We did another show on conspiracy theories. And, you know, again, we get people inboxing us information, emailing us information, getting a couple of calls. And, you know, again, we sit and we'll talk with you and discuss it, and we'll present our evidence, you present yours. But at the end of the day, you know, we can agree to disagree about certain things and move on. Because none of this is personal. Like I said yesterday on the show, John F. Kennedy was not my father, so, you know, I can't necessarily take that personally. But, you know, we look this information up and we do the research on it. And our guest call-in number is 310-982-4273. Again, that's 310-982-4273. And just to kind of give you a preview of our shows that are coming up next, I'm going to move some things around. So you're going to hear it in a different order this time. My apologies, but doing some reorganizing over on this side and going from there. Anyway, our next show will be on suicide, period. We will be talking about suicide. We'll be talking about suicide rates in the atheist community. We'll be talking about suicide rates in the religious community. And I'll also explain when suicide became a sin in the believing community, because it used to not be a sin. But I'll explain when it happened, when it changed over, and how all that came about so that you all understand and know. And no, I am not advocating anyone commit suicide. Basically, how this came about was, I posted an article, I believe it was Friday, and it was talking about suicide and depression in the atheist community. And as you are well aware, we've done a show on depression in the church. So, I mean, to balance it out, we're going to talk a little bit about depression and suicide on this side of the equation, but, you know, also still address it with theists as well. I just think it's important that we understand that, you know, again, we have some similarities and understand what suicide, you know, where it comes from, depression, where it comes from, the meaning, and just talk about it. Just kind of get this out the way and talk about it. And we'll talk about it more in the future as well, but I definitely feel that that's something that we definitely need to talk about and address the next week's show. That's the suicide show. The show after that, we're going to go on and continue with our biblical series. So, for that show, we will be talking about, did Jesus exist? Did he actually exist? And so we will be talking about that. We'll be talking about the different books, you know, and different people, Flavius and the forgeries and all of that. We'll be discussing all of that. And not the next show after that, but the next biblical series after that, we're going to talk about the Exodus. And did the Exodus ever happen? Did Moses exist, you know, were his people, you know, rescued from Egypt? We're going to talk about all of that. That's, you know, several weeks down the line, but that's the next in the series there. And after that, we'll be talking about biblical symbolism, which will be several weeks after that. That'll be in December. The Exodus will be somewhere in November, just to kind of let you guys know, you know, what's coming. But next week is suicide. The week after that, did Jesus exist? The week after that, we're going to continue with our feminism series, and we're going to talk about male feminism. So, you know, that should be interesting. I'll be posting more articles and links to that, and we're going to have a couple of guests on, you know, the male feminists there, so we can hear it from their perspective. And, again, you know, every time I put up something about feminism or racism or sexism, I have a certain sector of people, just, you know, a couple of different people, that want to argue and they want to talk about misandry and, you know, men being beat. And, you know, we're not saying that those things do not exist. However, I believe this all goes hand in hand. And we'll talk about that as well. And so that's that particular show. The week after that, then we'll talk about cognitive dissonance in religion. The week after that, atheism plus, social justice and all of that good fun stuff. So that's what's going on there, just to kind of give you an idea as to what's coming up down the line and all that fun stuff. But anyway, hey guys, good afternoon.
Yeah, what you see there, you got the holiday season mapped out.
Yes.
Hey, we got to get toys, trinkets, turkeys, and black freethinkers.
Yes. Exactly. One of those weeks, I won't be on the show. It'll be you guys headlining the show that Sunday. I will be having surgery. So I don't think you all want me on the line with all them drugs they're going to be pumping me with, because I know I'm going to be...
Hey.
That's Yeah, it should be interesting. So we're going to have some fun. And you guys, I know you're going to headline it and you're going to have a good time. And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're going to be busy there. We're going to be not praying for you and leaving you in the hands of trained professionals.
Yeah, okay. Not praying for me, but you know what? I still accept gifts. Okay, so you all can just send me an early birthday gift. My birthday's in January. I'm taking gifts starting now. I take them all year round, so, you know, my birthday is all year till the next birthday.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
Oh, you gotta love it. So, yeah, you gotta love it. So, hey, guys, I see everybody in the chat room, but, you know, hi, Rob. Hi, sweetie. And, he'll be praying for my medical team. Yeah, there you go. Good, fun stuff. You got it. Let's see Mario in there. Hey, Mario. Hi, everybody. But, again, you know, I just wanted to talk about a few things. Before we get off into our subject today, I do want to address that article that we'll be discussing in depth next Sunday regarding suicide and depression. And, you know, this is for anyone out there listening. Honey, you're not alone. There are a lot of people out here. We have these different groups. We have grief beyond belief. You have recovering from religion. You can call any of us. My Google Voice number is 312-725-8339. Again, that's 312-725-8339. You can email me. I had a couple of people call me last week, sat on the phone and chatted with them. Now, I do have a career, and lately, my days, I've had 12 to 15-hour days, so if I don't call you back immediately or text you back immediately, please do not take it personal. I'm just very, very busy. So, you know, and especially this time of the year, and it's going to be like this for the next several months for me. So, you know, just bear with me. I love you, and we'll go about that. And also, not only talking about suicide, you know, rates and all of that, but, you know, again, my heart goes out to you guys, those that think that you're alone, the ones that are out there feeling lost and depressed and despondent. You know, we've been through that. That's why I always talk about the stages of grief. And there are plenty of us out here. You know, you have the different groups, you know, there. And if you just reach out, I guarantee you somebody will reach back. And like I said, I put my information out there. You go to our homepage. It has my email address up there, blackfreethinkers@gmail.com. Again, that's blackfreethinkers@gmail.com. Or you can hit my other email address, which is kim@blackfreethinkers.com. kim@blackfreethinkers.com. Nothing but love there. And, you know, I will help
and
you to the
forget,
best.
And don't forget. I was going to say, and don't forget, there's always a national suicide prevention hotline. Or lifeline,
yeah.
Rather. And there are lots of other crisis hotlines that you can call
exactly.
If you need help. So,
yeah, you know, reach out. Use those resources, everybody. And the therapy project, you know, that's in line now. They're starting to, they've been accepting therapists, and they're starting to, you know, match people up with therapists as well. So, I think it's therapyproject.org. You can check that out. And as Raina said, you have the different hotlines out there. Please utilize those services. Please do. And if you have any organizations in your area, then please utilize them. Please utilize them. You know, they can't help you. They will basically direct you to people who can help you in that particular situation. And again, here's a big hug, big kiss, love you much, and just like I said, reach out. You reach out to us, we'll reach back. So on that note, we'll talk a little bit more about that next week, but I just wanted to put that out there to let you guys know that, you know, many of us have been through some of the same things, and, you know, we've grown from it. And some of us are still experiencing a little this and a little that here and there. But, you know, you're not alone. And like I said, you know, our hearts definitely go out to you. And another incident in the news that I, you know, wanted to address was that incidents incident in Ohio with the bus driver and the young lady. And the responses that I've been seeing. What's going on? What's going on? What kind of anger issues are we dealing with out here? Again, help is available. Help is available. I've posted several links on, you know, in the past regarding free physical and mental health care. Yeah, it may take you, you know, a couple of months to get an appointment. You have to make an appointment a couple of months in advance, but it's free or it's on a sliding scale. So if you have to wait a couple of months, that's fine. You have other people you can talk to in the meantime. But we have to kind of deal with some of these anger issues because while I can understand to a certain degree that the young man claims that or allegedly, you know, was defending himself against the young lady, was it really necessary to, you know, punch her in the face and kick her off the bus like that? Now, people that work with the public, and especially someone like a bus driver or a train conductor or an engineer, they've been trained on how to deal with the public. They deal with different types of people all the time. And what he did was he violated his company policy and procedure, which is why he was suspended. And it's a really good chance that he's going to lose his job. Was it worth it? And was he projecting other anger issues that may have happened earlier personally or even, you know, some professional issue there, and he took it out on the young lady. Now, she did not have any business bidding at him, being in his face, doing any of that, and I think she called him the B word. And, you know, she shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have done that. But I believe their procedure is to call into dispatch, and dispatch will call the police, and they will handle the situation accordingly, which means he has to pull the bus over. And when she was doing all of those things to him, I believe he was driving, in which she put him and everybody else on that bus, including herself, in danger. So I am not excusing, you know, her behavior at all. But what I'm saying is that it was a better way to handle that situation. And so now his job is in jeopardy. And if she's smart, which I'm not sure about all of that because she shouldn't have started all of that in the first place, but she can turn around to the bus company, the city, and name him as a party to the lawsuit. Was it really worth all of that?
Yeah, well, I only watched the video one time, and what I saw, even if this guy wasn't at work, if you're just at a backyard barbecue, what really tripped me out was the application of full strength. Like, he put his back into that punch, and then when he threw her off the bus, you could see he was using all his ability. Like, I wouldn't even use that on a man smaller than me or even my size. You know, just hold them down until they calm down. Like, what was with the complete punch where you could just all the muscle went into it, all whatever weight training or moving refrigerators around, you could see he put all his ability behind that. Like, fall back. You don't need to apply all
of
that.
My thing is that in his position, the whole incident, from what I understand, stemmed from the fact that she got on the bus and she couldn't find her money right away. So they got into an argument while she was trying to find her money, supposedly. In any other situation I've seen when I was riding the bus driver either holds the bus or he drops you off at the next stop if you can't find your money, you know what I mean, within a certain amount of time. And if
right.
you get out, and if things get out of control, they don't escalate the situation by getting into a back and forth with you. Because that's silly. They stop the bus, they call dispatch, or they call an officer if necessary.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's
how you're supposed to
handle it. But, like, you know, not every situation needs to be escalated to the point of violence. If he really felt that she was, trying to hurt him, or that she was unruly and he couldn't operate the bus safely, he had an obligation to stop the bus and to figure out a way to get her off the bus or restrain her or call the police. That was what he needed to do.
Right.
Or just take the hit. You know what, $2? Take the hit. Just keep driving. Like, geez, tell them to sit down and hand them a transfer.
Exactly. And, you know, I agree with a couple of people in the chat room. She was not necessarily a victim initially, but he made her a victim by the sheer aggression that he showed. And when I say that he made her a victim, basically he opened himself and made him and his company culpable and liable for a lawsuit. That's what I mean when I say he made her a victim. Because she
I feel like the overarching issue that I see is mm-hmm. this gentleman did not like or felt somehow that his manhood was threatened by this woman talking stuff to him. You know what I mean? And that's why he got into a back and forth with her. It to me just shows that not every situation has to, you know, go into a back and forth. And the moment that you feel like it's escalated to the point of violence is the point at which, if you are able to, you can remove yourself. He stopped the bus. He could have very well opened the doors and walked off the bus. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He didn't have to stop the bus, walk over to her, uppercut her, and then try to get into a scrap with her to get her off the bus. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm on board with that.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, Mario, I think Alfred is going to call in, but, yeah, no, guys, I mean, it's, you know, he compounded the situation. But, again, I understand when she called herself, choking him, again, she put him, herself, and every passenger on that bus and everybody in the vehicles surrounding that bus, she put them in danger. I understand.
I've been hiding and unfriending on this video all weekend because while I totally agree that the chick was in the wrong, I know that I'm nearly 6 feet tall. I'm over 200 pounds. I'm a fairly active man and I have big hands. I can subdue a female if I need to or avoid the situation. Especially, I'm on the job. I'm a delivery driver. I'm representing my company while I have uniform on and while I'm at work. So if I'm driving the bus and she hits me and then steps back, I stand up, still talking shit. At the moment I stopped the bus, I should have called dispatch and I should have called the police to come get her because now she's assaulting me. I didn't have to do anything at that point. The guy stood up, walked over to her, and did put his full force into a punch to subdue a much smaller opponent that he, at the point in time after the fact, is now no longer a threat. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here watching all these misogynistic, super, super masculine type of dudes sitting here cheering it on. I'm watching people laugh about it, and I'm watching even women saying that she deserved it and everything like that. And I'm not saying that she didn't deserve some type of punishment, but I'm saying if you're a 250-pound man and your opponent is a 140-pound woman, and it takes that much force to put her out, and everybody's okay with your actions, then a lot of people in this world is fucked up. And I'm telling you, I'm gonna say it just like this. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna say it just like this. I don't get it. I don't get it at all because in no time in my life have I ever had to put that much force into
turn
something
your mic
like
down,
that.
Somebody.
And to me, it's like this. If that guy had no problem with what he did and the force he used to put that woman down like that, that means he either has or does hit women on a regular basis. And that's another problem right there. If you're going to sit there and shit that dude on, you got some damn problems. You know what I'm saying? And generally, I could care less.
Well, I don't know. My issue isn't even so much that whether or not this was a woman or a man. The fact of the matter is we can't go around cheering on this kind of behavior. We have to encourage people to engage in some form of self-control, both the young lady and the man in the video. You know what I mean? They both did not exercise self-control. And this whole situation could have been avoided had they both exercised self-control.
Yeah, I have to agree on that. Just I made a video and a buddy of mine was talking about this. Would everybody be talking about this if it was a man against another man? Probably not.
Yeah. I would
say it was just funny.
If, No, not to me, because, well, I don't advocate violence, you know. If that was a man, and let's just say the man was, and from my understanding, the young lady was a little inebriated. Well, let's just say a man in the same situation. A little inebriated, got on a bus, talking shit, telling him to wait until, you know, he finds his money, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, if he started choking the bus driver, yeah, I would expect the bus driver to defend himself as well. Because, again, you're putting people in danger, a lot of people in danger. But the thing is that, you know, again, if he would have hit that man like that and threw a man off the bus, like the same way he did the young lady, I would have had a problem with that as well. I definitely would have had a problem with that as well. And I guess my biggest issue with all of that, besides that there, were the reactions of the people who thought it was funny. See, that's my whole thing. So my thing is that the next time, you know, if you're a young lady and if someone turns around, whether it's your spouse, significant other, you know, brother, whoever, and they turn around and beat you, after you've laughed at this young lady, do you expect us to come to your defense? Will it be funny then?
That's a really good point. I didn't mean to catch you off. That is a very good point you bring up. But the thing that I'm not sure a lot of people know, because I actually read the police report, that man was 1 year shy of 70 years old, and he had been doing that job for 22 years. So I think that uppercut was a culmination of having to go through stuff like that for 22 years, because quite frankly, though, in a regular fight, who uppercuts somebody? That right there, if you have, he took his time and strolled over there to initiate that attack. That was a culmination of a lot of pent-up frustration that he was having.
Exactly.
Just from the sheer force of that.
All the more reason why it's so important to talk about what Kim was talking about earlier, about mental health care, you know, about recognizing the signs and symptoms, about, you know, sort of, I mean, even sort of getting like a mental health care checkup, you know, every so often. You know what I mean? You're working in a frustrating job. Perhaps you need to see someone occasionally. Or perhaps maybe even the bus company should be responsible for putting you in that situation every so often, or encouraging you to be in that situation so often where you're talking to a therapist to get out your frustration. Because being frustrated for 22 years on your job is no reason to walk over to somebody and hit them.
Right, and like I said earlier, you know, I felt like he was projecting. So, I mean, I don't know if his wife ticked him off before he left the house, or if his manager ticked him off, and, you know, like, you know, Alfred just said, you know, it could be 20-plus years of built-up frustration. But, you know, whether it was 20 years of built-up frustration or a morning or a weekend of built-up frustration, she should not have had to pay what everybody else has done to anger him. At the end of the day. And, again, not excusing what she did. Not excusing what she did at all. You know, but we have to learn how to deal with these things. And someone that deals with the public like that, he has been trained. He has been trained, you know, on how to deal with the customer. He knows what policy and procedures are for the company. And he was supposed to call it into dispatch. And interestingly enough, and I don't have all of the facts on this, but the company found out about it and saw it on YouTube about a month later after it was, you know, after the incident. So I guess my question is, in a situation like that, from my understanding, when there's any type of altercation like that, the bus driver, part of his procedures and policy is he has to make a report of that incident. Was there a report made? And if so, what is on that report? Or if he did not make a report, again, he violated company policy, which is why his job is in jeopardy.
The article I read said he ended up getting suspended, and then I believe he was eventually terminated, but the police got involved, and it was actually the police are after her because of what she did when she put everybody in danger. But ironically enough, the bus driver told them not to prosecute her and not to go after her. But
wow.
Did anybody see the follow-up video? Yeah, I know. But has anyone seen the follow-up video where there's a reporter in the area that actually interviews her, and she paints herself as a victim?
I don't know. I mean, all of this will be worked out. All of this will be worked out in the court of law, and it's unfortunate that it even had to get to this stage.
Right.
You know, there were things that she could have done, and there were things that he could have done, and nobody did the right thing, and now we're in this situation. And I think it's unfortunate that people find this sort of thing entertaining. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Because there's nothing entertaining about that. Go ahead.
I think everybody saw themselves in that bus driver for a second. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah, it just shows how desensitized we are in general. Like, we just don't value each other as humans that much. And I can't really, I can't compare that far in the past. I'm not even 30 yet. But I don't know if that's how it's always been, if we've just never really cared that much about each other. And physical altercation is a good show. Break out the Doritos and Cherry Coke and let's watch the show. And it's kind of saddening a bit.
Right, you know, because, I mean, there are some people that enjoy pugilistic art. I just happen to not be one of them, you know. So, you know, the boxing and, you know, the martial arts and all that, even though I'm trained in martial arts.
But the difference between you know, boxing and what we're watching here is, in a boxing match, the two fighters know what they're getting themselves into. They've trained for this.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
they have to hit a specific weight.
Right. And they have rules to it and everything else. It's totally different, but I understand what you mean. I mean, to a certain degree, you know, all of the violence in our culture does, you know, have a lot to do with desensitizing people to real-life violence. But, you know,
even honestly, like
sometimes we have to sit back and understand that what we're looking at involves real people in real situations, and that could be any one of us. And, you know, we can't, you know, we wouldn't want someone laughing at us, you know what I mean, if that were a situation we found ourselves in, you know?
Right.
So.
Exactly. Exactly. And someone in the chat room said that the young lady hasn't taken any responsibility for her actions. And you know what? It seems as though she has not taken any responsibility for her actions to a certain degree, and she should not have been as antagonistic as she was when she got on the bus. But at the end of the day, you know, that 70, and I think the gentleman, the bus driver, I believe he was like a month or two out from retiring from the bus company, which is, you know, tragic in and of itself. Tragic, because hopefully this will not affect his pension. Hopefully they will just allow him to retire early, so that way he can get his full pension and he can do whatever it is he needs to do to enjoy his life. So, Nakoma, you're on the line. Turn your radio down, dear. But
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No, but the whole thing is interesting, you know, how, you know, that works there. But I hope he's able to collect on his pension. I hope he gets the counseling that he needs. I hope he gets the counseling that she needs. And because apparently she needs some. If you're that inebriated that you're getting on a bus and you're trying to choke the bus driver while he's driving the bus with you on it, there are some issues there. So, you know, in this case, it's unfortunate, you know, because to a certain degree, I will admit that he was an innocent bystander, but he was not anticipating that young lady getting on a bus and behaving that way. Now, should he have egged her on and continue, you know, antagonizing her in his own way? No. No. That shouldn't have happened either. And the minute she started with that, he should have just pulled the bus over, called dispatch, and sat there until dispatch called the police and the police car was dispatched to that particular location. So, someone said that she was drunk. So, you know, that's what I'm going by. You know, I'm not sure. I was not there. so I can't tell you what it's.
I think sometimes, I see that maybe I have a different opinion about it because I see that so often where women have tried men and tried to put themselves on a level with a man. And it's like people forget that we are human beings and we're going to react.
Well, what do you mean by putting yourself on a level with a man?
I mean, if you step to a man as if you are his peer, then you need to be prepared to deal with the consequences. When I did that, When I stepped to my uncles and I struck them first, they dealt with me in a way that reminded me that I'm not their peer, and I got my ass whooped. And these are two men that love me dearly, but it's still like, don't fucking come at me like you are my peer and expect not to get hit back. You hit hard. I hit hard.
Well, what do you mean that they're step to him like up here?
I'm saying she struck him. The young lady on the bus struck the bus driver. She put her hands on them. At the end of the day, all rules go out the window at that point. You put your hands on anybody. Anybody puts their hands on me,
okay,
is gonna have to deal with the consequences.
Okay, I understand that, but I wanted clarification on the language that you were using. Interesting. Okay, go ahead, Kim. Or anybody, I guess.
Oh, yeah. So, no, it's just, it's interesting, but I can kind of somewhat understand where Nakomi is coming from. However, this particular gentleman has been trained. He's been dealing with the public for 20-plus years, and this is not the first customer that he had to deal with that was belligerent, antagonistic, confrontational. That's not the first time he had to deal with it, which is why we said earlier that we believe that he may have been projecting other issues, or it may have been a lot of pent-up frustration, pent-up anger.
Or maybe it was just a long day. I mean, there's been times where I'm sure we all have dealt with situations in a more calmer manner than we have in other situations. People are still human. It could have just been the wrong day.
Right.
To do that.
That's
and
right.
I guess my bigger thing is just women, you know, because we live in a society where, you know, we're taught that men are not to hit women at any cost, and women take advantage of that.
So I will agree to that extent. But even still, it doesn't justify what he did. Even if that was a man, he still had an obligation to act differently.
I mean, on a professional level, I guess I somewhat agree, but at the end of the day, like I said, people are human. They're just like they tell you in school,
I mean,
when somebody hits you, not to hit them
back. People are human, but that doesn't mean that you excuse people who go off.
But like I said, at the end of the day, when you put your hands on somebody, that changes the dynamic. You don't know somebody's natural reaction. He responded kind of slow. What if he just hit her a little bit quicker? Then it would have been like, damn, well, that's his reflexes.
I mean,
it would have been a matter of reflexes.
But again, regardless of, you know, reflexes or, you know, defending yourself, you know, they have policy. And she could have had a gun. Somebody on the bus could have had a gun. People on the bus didn't intervene, which I found quite interesting. And someone else said that as well a little bit earlier. But at the end of the day, he was representing his company. And basically, he put himself and his company and the city, you know, in a very precarious position. And again, I think they said he was only a month or two out from retirement. I'm hoping, just from the compassionate side, I'm hoping that they will allow him to retire early and just take his pension and leave. You know, and, you know, what they'll do is cut her a check and hope that all of this bad publicity will go away. And I'm hoping that, again, like I said earlier, that she gets some help. Because that's not normal behavior, you know, the behavior that she displayed. That's not normal behavior. And, you know, the whole thing is interesting, but, you know, even with him, his reaction was bad. And, again, just a number of extenuating circumstances, but I wish them both well. So,
yeah, regardless of gender, either person, when you step to somebody in public, you don't know your opponent. You know, like you were saying,
exactly.
Like they could have had a gun or anything. Yeah, like she didn't know her opponent when she flexed on him. And I have to add the disclaimer, I'm not excusing what he did, but at the same time, she just flexed out there without knowing her opponent, even if her opponent was a woman smaller than
right.
her. You don't know what kind of training that opponent may have had or what kind of weapon they may have been carrying.
Exactly. Exactly. I agree with that. You know, she didn't know. She didn't know what he had on him, and she didn't know what he had on her. And it could have turned into a really, you know, deadly type of situation. I mean, including the people on the bus. Somebody on the bus, you could have just had a plain fool on a bus that just started out shooting. I mean, it could have ended badly in a number of different ways.
And all for something that could have been avoided. You know what I mean? Like, we're not talking about an unavoidable circumstance here. You know what I mean? When
but
she
I'm sure that's not her first
him,
time she did that.
I mean, probably not. And for all we know, that might not be the first time that he's hit somebody like that. So, I mean, for all we know, they both have a history of
right.
of violence or acting inappropriately.
Well,
I mean,
sometimes people need to learn the hard way. I bet she'll never step to a guy like that again. I know I won't.
I don't think it's a matter of not stepping to a guy. I think what it is people need to act appropriately.
Keep your
yeah.
hands to yourself. Keep
yeah.
your hands to yourself. You know,
that's not the real world. That's not reality.
Well,
it is the reality.
People have an altercation and people get into a situation where there's a situation. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it sounds good to keep your hands to yourself, but people, when they feel threatened, you'd be surprised. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
people
are capable of keeping their hands to themselves all the time. The vast majority of people are able to do it. In certain situations, we understand that some people, that things get out of control and things happen. But we can't allow that to be an excuse. You have to act appropriately.
But if you're not taught
that
appropriateness, if you're not taught that appropriateness, that doesn't mean anything to someone.
That,
some of these people were raised differently.
The law doesn't care about that. And, you know, you can't claim, just because you can't claim ignorance before the law. So they're going to have to face whatever legal ramifications they have to face. And it's not that excuse doesn't work in reality. It just doesn't.
I agree, but some people don't care about the consequences. We know that.
I mean, okay.
Right.
And
some people don't care about
people,
doing 2 years
people,
on hitting somebody.
And those
and
people,
it just depends on their level and their mentality.
Care. And many of the people that don't care about the consequences, you know, in many cases, we label them as sociopaths. Because if they don't care about the consequences, they don't care about anybody or anything other than themselves, that means, you know, they're going to commit those same misfortunes, and they're going to commit even more egregious acts. And, you know, by definition, that's a sociopath. And we have plenty of them walking around here. Plenty of them. But,
yeah,
you know,
is,
again.
This is a fantastic conspiracy theory episode here. We're nailing down the big ones.
Yeah. And on that note, a conspiracy theory explains an event as being the result of an alleged plot by a covert group or organization, or more broadly, the idea that important political, social, economic events are the product of secret plots that are largely unknown to the general public. So, with that being said, what I'm trying to understand is, with some people that play into the conspiracy theory, why do you believe that these people would tell you their secrets? Now, I'll share something about myself before we go further into that. I used to be a conspiracy theorist. You know, kind of gave some of my history. Was raised in a religious family. Was religious for a while. My destiny and path was to be a pastor, a minister. I am a minister. And, you know, my mom had such big hopes for me. She's a minister as well, grandfather minister, ministers all throughout my family on both sides of the family, mother and father's side. And it's just interesting, but I, you know, stopped believing when I was about 11 or 12. And, you know, would go to church. And the only reason why I would go to church, just to be honest with you, is because my mom had to basically promise to feed me. Because I used to love the old lady at the church. And so that's the only reason why I would go to church. I didn't like the kids at the church. I didn't like church in general. But I did enjoy dinner. But, you know, it was just interesting. But, you know, fast forwarding, as a young adult in my early, mid-20s, I was definitely on board with the conspiracy theory. I mean, it was
bad. Got the water running. Sorry, Kim. I just,
okay.
I'm distracted because I hear something that sounds like water. Sorry.
Oh, it's too funny. But, yeah, I was really big with the conspiracy theory, believed in it, would talk with people hours about different things. I mean, if I was walking down the street and a particular street light went out when I was walking by it, I was swearing that there were cameras in the street lights watching me. And, you know, it was just crazy. It was crazy. I believed all of that stuff. You know, the issue with JFK. You know, I was believing some of the conspiracies that were out there about that. You know, this happened before 9/11. When 9/11 happened on that particular day, I was leaving work because at that time I was working overnight because I was in school full time and I was on my way to class. And I just heard about it on the radio. And at first I laughed because I thought it was a joke. I thought it was the morning host, you know, because I listen to AM radio, talk radio. And I thought the hosts were just kind of pulling our leg. I didn't believe that it was true. Not until I got to, you know, school, and they had the monitors out. And I was watching the monitors, and I saw when the second plane hit the second tower, and was just absolutely floored that day. And, you know, interestingly enough, everybody at the school, everybody hugged each other, and it was just, you know, very painful. I, you know, took a seat and sat there and watched both towers come down. And, you know, I cried for those people. I felt for them. I felt for them and their families. And, you know, watching the news and watching the people running down the street with all of the soot and ash all over them. And it was just, you know, I personally cannot fathom that the government would hurt people like that. I mean, not only hurt the people that lost their lives and the people that are still suffering, you know, physically and emotionally from what happened, but just the American public in general. You know, we're still suffering some of the repercussions of watching that. You know, that was devastating. I saw people jumping out of buildings. I still have some of the newspapers showing people, you know, taking flight out of buildings, trying to save their lives. Now, you know, of course they weren't thinking rationally, because if you're on the, you know, 35th, 36th floor, you know, you're not going to make a soft landing. It's just not going to happen. And so you have these different people out here with these conspiracy theories, and they're believing it to be true. And I understand, because I was once there, but why do you believe that the information that you have is correct and the information that has been given to us? We've had people reenact the JFK. I posted that on my wall from National Geographic, in which they went in and they reenacted the situation and they explained it. And I'm just trying to get a better understanding. Personally, I believe that conspiracy theory is another form of a religious belief. And, you know, of course there are going to be some people that don't necessarily agree with me, but, you know, again, there are similarities between the belief systems. in the associated cognitive processes or lack thereof, and, you know, they're inherent to religious narrative. And so, I mean, I believe this is something that we definitely need to talk about because, again, not, you know, making fun of anyone, not at all. I understand, been there, done that. But, you know, we probably just need to sit down and talk about this a little bit more. There have been some discussions on my wall. And, you know, going back and forth, people presenting evidence. But at the end of the day, hypothetically, if these are inside jobs, do you believe they're really going to tell you they're going to wait until 20, 30, 50 years from now before the information is released? You know, they're... posted an article last week sometime regarding them releasing gases and fumes in a low-income poor area in St. Louis, and it was testing, I believe, nuclear gas. And basically, a lot of the people in that area had different types of cancers. They suffered. And when it was exposed, I believe it was in the early mid-90s, when it was exposed that the Army had conducted these tests, the Army was supposed to go back in and do health screening. And it was never revealed whether they went back into the neighborhoods or not. Now, we know things like this have happened over the years. And, you know, that was in the 50s and 60s when this took place. And so... I'm not saying that it's not possible, but I'm saying if you can produce irrefutable proof, then we're willing to look at it. And that happened in St. Louis, I believe, that I was talking about with the nuclear fumes and gases and whatever it was that they were releasing. I'll find the article and repost it a little bit later. But, you know, getting back to JFK and 9/11, I guess my question is, you know, why do you believe what you believe? And, you know, you're looking at it, you know, doesn't it seem rather religious in nature, some of these, because, again, you have a protagonist and an antagonist. And it's just, you know, someone to fear, someone to loathe, someone to, you know, someone that's there that's conspiring against you. Someone, it's the whole thing is just interesting. And, you know, both the religion and the grand conspiracies, you know, they're both immune from reason. And it seems as though they're both impervious to any type of evidentiary standard. So it's just interesting, you know, these invisible forces. Who are they? You know, I always hear people talking about they and them. Who are they? Who are them? And you can't always point to the Bilderbergs and the Priesters and, you know, the Rothschilds and all of that. You know, I know a couple of people from a couple of those families, and you met them in real life. Number one, you wouldn't believe, you wouldn't think that they were billionaires. But, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting how all of this came about. So I guess I would ask, you know, some of the people on the panel here, what's your take on this? Do you believe that there are some similarities between religion and conspiracy theories? Hello?
I don't know who wants to go first. I guess I'll go ahead. I definitely agree with you. You know, one of the things that that struck me, you know, after I found out a lot of the conspiracy theories I used to believe in, you know, were complete bunk, I noticed certain things, like, for example, like, people often tend to assign almost godlike powers, you know, to these groups, whoever they believe they are, you know, the government, the Bilderbergs, you know, whoever, you know, they tend to make them, like, larger than life. They're infallible, you know?
Right.
And that just doesn't make any sense to me, particularly when we have so many pieces of evidence that show that not only are human beings fallible, but governments in particular are fallible.
Right.
No, it makes absolutely no sense. You know, and again, this isn't to say that there are no conspiracies whatsoever. It just so happens that not all of these conspiracies are true. You know.
Right. So this seems as though God is replaced by the government, and the miracles are replaced by science bordering on magic. So cell phone towers that emit mind-controlling waves, and, you know, the FEMA coffin hysteria and the clandestine alien cover-ups. It's just interesting.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, basically driven by faith that government is all-powerful, ignoring evidence that runs contrary to their beliefs. And, you know, seems like, you know, just a new type of religion, you know. Just we're looking at it from a different perspective.
It's a new thought for me. I guess it's better for me to ask a question than try to pose any statement. Like with them making their conspiracy theories like a religion. I guess in a religion you got your heroes, you got your God and your Jesus. They cape up and save the day.
Well,
and
they
you got your
too.
The prophets, I guess. They're like heroes too. They're like the whole Marvel squad, you know.
Look,
and they got their enemy.
I was gonna say emphasis on the PROFIT spelling.
Exactly. Going back to the Alex Jones and things, Mario, you're hot again. But yeah, you know, they do have their prophets that are making a profit. You know, people like Alex Jones and other people out there, and like was stated yesterday, you know, they're selling, you know, telling people to, you know, buy gold and buy gold and buy gold. And, you know, I've never seen gold at this price in my life. I mean, you know, I know, you know, my play dad is a pawnbroker, and I'll just put it this way, you know, they are racking up, and I'll leave it at that, but I've never seen gold this high before, and it's just a matter of time before the bottom is pulled out on that, and so, you know, it's just interesting. Alex Jones, he makes money off of that, you know, as we were talking about yesterday, about the generators and the survival kits that they're selling. Then they're telling you to go to this company and buy. They're making money. They're making money. And so are these other companies that are selling these things. You know, I've seen people who, and I know people, that are trying to sell their homes so they can go buy some land out in the middle of nowhere, so they can get off the grid, if you will. And listening to Alex Jones, it's just interesting.
With the these conspiracy theory heads, do they have any heroes, or are they just do they just have a head full of villains?
They have some heroes. It depends. Like, you know, to some people, Alex Jones is a hero. You know, to some people, it's David Icke. You know, it really depends. Some people, it's Julian Assange. You know what I mean? It just depends. Not to say that Julian Assange is in the business of selling nonsense, as we know, like Wikipedia or WikiLeaks is, you know, open source and you don't have to pay for the information or anything like that. But, you know, he, like other people, have agendas too. You know, not to say that should somehow, you know, negate what he's done. You know, just saying that sometimes we have to understand that people have agendas, and it's not just the government that has an agenda.
Exactly. People have agendas at the end of the day. Many of them is like, you know, what are they going to get out of the situation? What are they profiting? How is it going to help them politically? Because it's not only Alex Jones making money from the gold, selling different gold packages and telling people to buy from these different companies. You know, Rush is making money from it, you know, and the fear-mongering that's happening nowadays. And it's just, it's amazing.
Oh, the 700 Club. the 700 Club racks up money, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, Pat Robertson. Go ahead, honey.
First of all, I wanted to apologize for earlier, Kim. There's a lot of fuzz. Did anybody hear that? But anyway, is that my phone or somebody else?
I don't hear it. Do you all hear both?
I don't hear anything.
I know my computer is really ragged. I'm going to put my thumb over the mouthpiece and tell me if it sounds different.
Okay, yeah, that was it. I watched some documentary years ago called, I think it was called Leviathan. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was really kind of compelling because it showed, like, the connection between, like, all CNI and Columbia and why everything, like, yeah, Columbia House, District of Columbia and stuff like that. And it's really compelling the way they put it together. And you're sitting there listening to the guy's voice who sounds all conspiratorial and sneaky and whatnot, and then you have the music playing. It's like, damn, this is some deep shit, you know. And then when you go research after that fact, it's like, oh, like I was watching a video and it kept showing, like, and I really don't want to get into this, but the World Trade Center and how, you know, they keep using this same video to show that something happened to this building here, and I'm not going to say which one so I can avoid that and everything, but then they showed the unedited video, and it's like, well, the conspiracy theory websites are editing the video to fit what they wanted to believe, and I saw the unedited video in which, yeah, something did hit this part of this area right here, and that's what caused something to happen. I'm being intentionally vague.
I'm sorry, I understand. I put it out there. It's on Kim's wall, and there's several videos on the RSS feed wall. You guys can check them out.
Like, oh yeah, it's just, you know, the whole thing. It's like, you know, I'm just glad that we're putting it out here. And, you know, again, like, you know, when Mario called into the show yesterday, he said he used to be into the conspiracies as well. He used to believe it as well. But I believe that, you know, as you research a lot of this, you know, information, and, you know, you kind of rationalize certain things, you'll realize that there, you know, like invisible forces. And these invisible forces appear to be as omnipotent as God, you know, in your various religions here. And so that's the reason why, you know, I personally believe that it's taking on the form of a religion. And it's just, you know, if these people do exist, and let's just say hypothetically, you know, there's some type of conspiracy going on. The conspiracy is only given power because you all believe in it. And I guess, you know, what I've said to people in the past is, if these things are really happening, then why aren't all of you banding together to do something about the conspiracy? You know, we challenged people yesterday to, you know, write books, publish your findings, you know, again, peer review, all of that. Put that out there. You know, it's just interesting. But, again, these invisible forces, and you're afraid of a force that you don't see, because many of these people know, you know, I'm afraid to do that because, you know, they may come after me. And it's like, you know, with anything, you know, even with religion there in general, you know, until we expose this information, expose the pedophile pastor, expose these invisible, you know, forces that are out here conspiring to kill us all off or turn us into indentured servants, until we expose it, you know, basically it's tacit agreement. Because if you're not going to do anything about it, then you're telling them that it's okay.
I just thought the fact that you could research a conspiracy theory should prove how valid it is.
Right.
Exactly. Right, they're going to put... No, you know what the ones that kill me? Because there are all these people on YouTube, and, like, particularly some of the Afrocentrics that are on YouTube, who will watch a movie like The Matrix, and they'll say, this is what they're desensitizing you. So when they do this for real, you won't really believe it, you know, or you won't put up any resistance. Like, why would they put it in a movie?
That was a true one. They desensitized you with a really bad movie, so you could be ready for more really bad movies to come. But yeah, that one was true.
Oh no, I was gonna say go ahead, but you know, it's just interesting. But not only with the Matrix, anything that Arnold Schwarzenegger does, you know, I have a relative that swears by Terminator and all of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, saying that he's predicting the future and he's a prophet. It's interesting.
The closest they got with that is, what, that video phone in Total Recall, but I haven't seen any three-boobed chicks walking around yet.
Oh, I can run with that in so many different directions, but I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alfred.
Trust me. No, go ahead. Okay, yeah, I'm definitely. No, I was saying that if there were some three boob chicks running around here, I'd find them before anybody else would. But that's interesting you mentioned, Total Recall.
Yeah, it's just interesting, you know how people, you know, take movies and take situations and, you know, it's like they're reaching, you know, and it's not everybody, you know, you just have your select people out here. And people have different belief systems, and again, you know, I'm not necessarily mocking anyone's belief system, just that, you know, bring the evidence. I mean, Mario posted a link yesterday. I am getting ready to post in the chat room. It talks about debunking the 9/11 conspiracy, and it's actually a very, very good link. And, you know, the information is out here. Just do the research. The research is out there, and
but see, that's the problem, Kim. Most people don't know how to really do real research. They go and they find the thing that confirms what they already believe to begin with, and they stick with it. They don't try to. They're not interested in reading the reports by, you know, the National Institute of Standards, you know. They're interested in a website that is selling them gold and telling them that the government hates them and that they're, you know, the protagonist in their own special action film. You know what I mean? And only they have the knowledge and only they know what's happening and everyone else is sheep.
You know, I laughed about that because somebody said you need to buy gold. You need to buy gold and everything because it's gonna be valuable in the future, especially when America collapses and all that. And I'm like, well, if gold is so important, why are they selling it to you? You're giving them something worth less than what you're buying, and if you're thinking about it like that. And on top of that, if there is a collapse and there is a dystopian apocalyptic future, who wants to eat a gold brick? All right?
Exactly.
I would think that, water would be more important.
I was going to say, my problem with the people that tell you to buy gold, they don't read history. You know what I mean? Because the price of gold, just like the price of the dollar, fluctuates. And you know, not that it's likely to happen exactly like it happened in Spain, but, I mean, you can look at Spanish history. They imported so much silver that the silver became virtually worthless.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I mean,
and I mean, and that's the whole thing, you know, some of the same people that I've discussed this with that are saying buy gold, buy gold, buy gold, then on the other hand they'll turn around and say that when the government collapses that they're going to come and try to take the gold away from the individuals. So why are you buying gold, but in the same breath saying that you believe that the government is going to come and snatch the gold away? So they were trying to find creative ways to, you know, hide the gold and, you know, so that the government can't come in and take it. You know, it kind of reminds me of when, you know, you go to a house and, you know, they're getting ready to, you know, demolition the house. And they go inside and they find all of this money and gold and silver stacked up like that gentleman in his garage. I think he had over $17 million worth of gold in his garage. And
wow.
Hoarding all of this stuff. And then what's going to happen is, you know, they paid money. They're paying top dollar for this gold and silver and platinum. And then when the market bottoms out, then they're going to say, well, it was a conspiracy from the government because they realized that people
yep.
were arming themselves and couldn't come in and take the gold. So what they did was they devalued the gold. So they stole
right.
the money. It's just interesting. Yeah, Chuck E. Cheese tokens never fluctuate. That's right.
I think the gold is actually a distraction because the real money 10 years from now will be Pokemon cards. No one knows that, though.
Right. No one knows that. Magic the Gathering and Pokemon cards, they're going to be the only way to go.
Right.
You'll be able to buy someone's life with a holographic Charizard.
That's right.
Oh, I ended a friendship over Magic cards. They played Magic cards for like 3 hours.
Oh, God.
Like, we're supposed to be out.
An unhappy place, y'all. Let's move on. I don't want William to go to a sad place.
Right. But, you know, I'm just looking at the paranoia behind a lot of this, you know, because, I mean, paranoia in religion is paranoia with conspiracy theories. And, you know, it's just, you know, the psychology of belief, you know. The whole thing is just interesting, you know. You know, wow. And it's like it's a conversion. You know, it's like many mm-hmm. people that believe in this, they're trying to recruit us to, you know, convert us into believing. It's a lot of similarities. And I just want people to sit down and think about it. And this is not mocking or ridiculing.
You want us to think, Kim? Ugh.
Huh?
You want us to think?
You know, that would be nice. That would be nice. You know, it's just, you know, the whole thing, looking at it, and I feel bad because, I mean, I'll go ahead and share one of, you know, my stories. This happened in, like, 2008, and I have a friend that's really big on this conspiracy theory, and she had agitated me to the point that I had an anxiety attack.
Oh, no.
You know, yeah, you know, and I was like, and you know, after, you know, I realized it took me a few days to kind of pull it together and figure out what was going on. And do you know, I have not spoken to her since then. I'm like, oh, all conversation with you stopped. Because,
well, you had to stop talking to her for your health. So,
yeah,
exactly.
You know, and it was crazy. You know, trying to convince us to go out and buy, you know, cases of Spam, cases of noodles, you know, the wind-up AM-FM radio.
I'm sorry, but I am not living in any world where the apocalypse has me eating Spam and noodles. I'm sorry. We need an apocalypse where we can eat duck and caviar. Like, why can't we have that apocalypse?
There was a guy that bought a pallet of Spam. I don't know if you know what a pallet is, but we're talking about like a ton of Spam for Y2K. And then when it didn't happen, he was stuck with a ton of Spam.
I would have opened up a restaurant. Hilarious. You should have opened up a restaurant.
Gourmet Spam recipes.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, it's Spam, though. Like, Spam is, like, worse than meatloaf. Like, I don't... Does that count as meat? What is...
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what Spam is.
Whose meatloaf have you been eating?
Oh, I hate meatloaf. I'm a meatloaf bigot. I don't want meatloaf in my neighborhood. Spam, meatloaf. Meatloaf, Spam. Meatloaf is just wannabe hamburger. And that's my conspiracy theory, that meatloaf is wannabe hamburger.
Oh, man, well, then you don't want to know what
you know
I'm
what, William, we can't be friends anymore. Sorry.
You all are sitting up here talking about Spam, you know, and also that canned corned beef. over in Hawaii, spam is a delicacy.
It is.
It really is. Over in Hawaii and the Philippines, spam is a delicacy. And they do a pretty good job with it. You know, don't get me started. You know, you had to make me a trip to either the Philippines or Hawaii so I can go get me some spam fried rice. But
oh, no. It's funny you mention that because there's a place here on base that they sell a spam type sushi product at the place called Hawaiian Barbecue. I've yet to have it because I had too much spam as a child, so I'm like, I'm done. No, that's okay.
Hilarious.
You don't know what you're missing. Get some of that spam fried up, throw it on some bread with mayo, lettuce, tomato. Gotta throw some bacon on there. There you go.
My grandfather and them come from the old school where he's actually eating Rocky Mountain oysters. You know what those are?
Yeah.
Mario talking about Vienna sausages and potted meat. That and that hog head cheese. Oh, here we go. I'm telling you all about how I was traumatized growing up.
Oh, no.
What's the name anyway? You know, but getting back to it, you know, in particular, you know, with some of the people that I've met over the years, and they believe this stuff. And, you know, it was just interesting because when I stopped believing it, you know, I stopped believing it once I was able to access the Internet and you do a lot of research. Because the Internet now is not the Internet it used to be in the early 90s, for those of you that are not familiar. You do an Internet back in the day. What was the name of those search engines? You had the AOL search engine. You had Ask Jeeves and, you know, a whole bunch of the you know. And you would go out there and you, let's just say you wanted to look up, you know, crack. You would get a million results in about, you know, 12 pages in. You may get half of an answer that you wanted. Yeah, InfoSeek, web crawler, you know, Internet is very much so different now. And, you know, but I'm a little jealous of the kids today. I'm like, I wish I had all of this when I was a youngster. But, yeah.
I mean, it's better and it's worse in a lot of ways. Because back then you had to have some expertise. You had to have some knowledge, which usually correlated with some kind of real expertise in the subject that you were talking about. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But these days, anybody who, you know, who can afford an internet connection can write on anything and make themselves look like they're credible.
Yeah, that's real. Like in 2001, I edited a Wikipedia page and said that his rap style was influenced by me, and it stayed like that till 2006 in November. Someone finally changed it.
And I was getting hit.
Were you the one who went on Wesley Snipes' Wikipedia page and put that he was a Nazi stormtrooper a few years ago?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. William has been busy. Oh, geez.
Okay. See, these are the ones out here creating conspiracies just like these guys went in and edited the Wikipedia. You have people out there. It's like if you spend, you know, a couple of dollars with a web hosting company, buy a domain, you can put a page up and make yourself seem as credible as possible. And it can just be a whole, not everything on the Internet is true, people.
Right.
And hell no.
Go ahead. Oh, my bad. Oh, yeah, when you post on Facebook now, it says, do you want to promote this post? And it's like $7, and you could link it up to your PayPal and promote your post. Like, anybody that just wants to spend $7 can post something insane and just spread it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm going to
do it. I'm you know what I'm saying, we got to discussing somebody with the chemtrails, and every time somebody posted something about the chemtrails, they're giving me this link and everything to this really, really amateur done website and everything. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, if they're randomly spraying chemicals in the sky, wouldn't they have to breathe the air, too?
Right.
Maybe I'm missing something, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing is interesting because I remember.
Yeah, we'll be talking about chemtrails on a future RSS feed show because, yeah, too many folks
out
there.
Yeah, you have fun with that, you know. You know, I have gotten my fill of conspiracy theories, you hear me? And like I said, I used to be a proponent. I used to be a believer, you know. And with research and some education and, you know, being able to talk to different people, you know, biochemists, and, you know, I was put in a situation in which I was exposed to a lot of different people, and I was able to ask some questions besides doing the research on the internet, and it helped dispel a lot of those beliefs for me. And in addition to that, you know, I'll go ahead and put it out there, it didn't help that I had some friends that used to laugh me out the room. So it was like, why are they laughing? Why is this so funny? And so I would just go and do the research. So, you know, it's just interesting. But, yeah, the chemtrails and all of that, I think we talked about that before, right? I think you posted the link where people could go over to HARP and send in a question, and they will answer the people's questions.
Yeah, but HARP doesn't really have anything to do with the chemtrails, per se. That just tends to be something that those folks usually believe in. But yeah, HARP is bunk. You know, the project is real. They really are doing research on the ionosphere and how to use it or how to manipulate it for communication purposes.
Right.
So.
Right. Exactly. And you can just go over there and you can ask some questions. And you know, with a lot of these people, when you read these articles, and let's say you go out and you read an article that's, you know, the antithesis to what you believe, whether it's JFK, 9/11, you know, chemtrails, whatever, you know, even with, you know, some people out here thinking that when they're going around spraying for mosquitoes, they're spraying manganese, but that's another story, too. Basically, you can go to these places and they have a contact us page, and they have email addresses. In some cases, they'll have a contact page in which you can put the information in there and just type it in. They will answer you. They definitely will answer you. And, you know, utilize those services because that's the only way you're going to get the answers to many of these questions. But the problem is that even if the people answered the questions, how many people are going to toss it out as hogwash because they've already made their mind up that they believe X, Y, and Z? So it doesn't matter what anyone else says. So, you know, in most cases, you just have to kind of let people come into themselves. They're going to believe what they're going to believe, and we can just present evidence and keep presenting the evidence and move on from there because, man, I used to be a believer, and you know, on many different levels, and I grew out of it. So, you know, that's saying a lot.
But and I think it makes it worse when you have some science, some guy, I guess a scientist who just needed the money, who just, you know what I'm saying, wants to go along with the whole thing. And it's like, you know, it's always hilarious when you see people who are really following along and really agreeing with them. Like when after the Batman shooting and everything, I saw this picture of a guy, and apparently, he's wearing glasses, and he's holding up a sign saying that I'm in the military, I do this, this, and this, and this, and there's no way I could have did this, 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 this. And everybody's like, see, there you go, and everything like this. And this is in the same weekend that the shooting happened, and I'm like, how the hell do you know that guy's in the military? And it's like, you know, we haven't even finished investigating the whole thing to figure out what really went down. And already you're forming these conspiracy theories where it was the FBI that gave him the guns, or it was these people that gave him the guns. They did this because this. And I'm like, how come it couldn't just be a crazy son of a bitch going on a rampage? How come it can't just be that simple?
Right. You know? Right. Right, exactly. Why, you know, it's just interesting when you pose it to people like that. But, again, you know, they have, you know, they've made their mind up, you know, and there are a lot of fundamental flaws just in conspiracy theories as well, you know, because, again, you know, like the conversation yesterday, you know, had people claiming to understand, you know, engineering and demolition and all of that. And, you know, they've convinced other people, you know, that they're experts and that they know these things and to believe them. Because, you know, you have people out here that know absolutely nothing about, you know, physics or chemistry or biology or anything. But yet they were convinced and are convinced that it's possible that, you know, for example, that someone can control their mind. And the brain can be controlled using electromagnetic waves. And it's just, it's interesting, you know, but I say get educated. Get educated. Get educated on these things. Speak to different experts. And, you know, it's just interesting because, you know, some people consider conspiracy theories as runaway applied confirmation bias. And that's how I've seen it explained in, you know, a couple of different areas. But it's just interesting, and, you know, we're growing, we're evolving, we're getting more knowledge, and again, with the internet, a lot of information is able to be exchanged. There's a lot of information out there. There's also a lot of misinformation as well. So, you know, you have to be careful out there when you're trying to research this stuff and look it up and get a better understanding of it. But, you know, hey, it is what it is, and, you know, if it's not one thing, hand off, you know, to something else, because, you know, I believe that there are some patterns, and with some people, they go from religion to being spiritual to conspiracy theorists to agnosticism, and then from the agnosticism, it kind of branches off into several different areas, you know, and so I just feel that there are levels, there are steps, you know, different people do different things, and you know, it's just, it's been interesting. It's been an interesting experience. I've experienced a lot of these different things, and which is why, you know, I don't mock or begrudge other people. I just try to answer the questions, and if I don't have the answers, you know, I'm grateful that I have different people around me. Like, you know, you have Raina, you have William, you have Alfred, Mario, Comey, and other people in the community that, you know, they can answer some of the questions or at least pass you on to somebody or pass some information along that can help you to glean a better understanding of these things. You know, none of us are experts. We're just offering you what we have, and, you know, you take what you will. And leave it at that. But, yeah, you know, interesting, but yeah, get some education. You know, not all education comes in the form of a classroom. You know, you have autodidactic learning, which is self-learning or being self-taught. And you can get the information. A lot of these scholarly resources are available. Some are available for free. Other ones are available if you're in school for free. So if nothing else, hopefully that encourage you to take at least one class, even at the community college. You know, go on out and get your education, you know, take something you like so you can get back into the groove of being in school. But get out here, you know, get out here and educate yourself. It's a big world out here. It's a big world. It's a big world. And I just hate to see people trading in one religion for another religion, but it goes by a different name. So again, earlier, like I said, you know, God has been replaced by the government, and you know, it's just it's interesting, but you know, and it is what it is, and it's about people making money. You know, as Raina said earlier, they have their prophets as well, and they're profiting like the prophets in the churches. You know, they're profiting. I'd like to send a little shout out to Prophet Pedophile and Woodlawn over here in Chicago. Yeah, I heard what you said. Anyway, so.
That profiting, that could be like how the NRA can just boost gun sales by just simply saying some politician is going to take your guns away.
Exactly.
Just to get some money going. Yeah, like Kim says, follow the money.
Yep. Follow the money. They're making money, and at the end of the day, that's their guy. You know, many of these people, and when I say they, I'm talking about the people who have an agenda that are out here trying to sell you all, you know, these different belief systems, these different thought processes that are telling you, well, the government is you know, doing A, B, C, D, and E, and they don't want you to know anything about it. But I'm presenting the news. I'm going to tell you about it. And here we go with Alex Jones again. He seems to have information no one else has. And then some of the information that he brings, you read those documents, he's taking it totally out of context. You know, and you have to be very careful with these things. Because, again, you know, they're using you to generate a profit, to make money. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters to a lot of these people. But in the meantime, you have people walking around here that are paranoid, that are in fear, that are angry, that are bitter, and, you know, creating a hostile and acrimonious, you know, relationship with the government. That's why a lot of these militias are growing and getting bigger and, you know, gaining, you know, followers and, you know, racking up on arms. You know, the day that, you know, President Obama was elected, you know, gun sales went up. These people are arming themselves to the teeth because they believe that it's going to be some kind of civil war, and they are preparing themselves. So, you know, I'm just saying, don't let them fool you. Don't let them fool you. It's getting kind of nuts out here. And what makes it very grave and serious is that you have a lot of people who are believing these things. And, you know, something is liable to jump off because they actually really do believe it. We have 804 on the line. Area code 804. May we ask who's calling? Maybe they didn't mean to click 804. Okay, we're going to place them back on hold and go from there. But, yeah, guys, so, you know, it's just, it can be tragic, you know, a lot of this stuff that's going on out here. And, you know, someone wrote in a chat room, you know, about a situation that would cause a civil war. Yeah, you know, if something like that were to happen, and I'm not going to repeat what he put in the chat room, but if something like that were to happen, it's going to cause more problems than, you know, it's just, it's scary. It's a very scary thought, a very scary thought, but it's a very real possibility. Someone shot into the Democratic headquarters in Denver, Colorado. Now, nobody was hurt, and the president was nowhere near the place. But basically, you know, you have these people out here that are extremely paranoid and that are delusional, and especially the ones that believe that he's going to put white people in slavery, and that's not true. What they're doing is they're distorting the narrative. They're distorting the narrative to say that, you know, minorities are lazy and on welfare and waiting for their check and their new Cadillac. But he's, you know, raising the taxes on the people that are working, which are, you know, Caucasian white people, and that they're paying for the rest of us. And so basically they're going to be forced to work harder and work, you know, for less money to pay for the minority. And, you know, xenophobia. And, you know, yeah. And that's true. When you look at the numbers, there are more whites on welfare than blacks, but they don't put that information out there. And, again, with us having, you know, this fear-based sort of fear-mongering in this country, you know, it's going to get worse. And so just trying to, you know, kind of get you all prepared, because anything can happen. But do I believe anything is going to happen? At this point in time, no. I really don't believe so, but, you know, you just got to keep your eyes and ears open. If they have enough guts to shoot into a campaign headquarter, you know, what do they have the guts to do? And that's not a conspiracy. That's just, you know, right there, that's conjecture and speculation. But, you know, you just never know. You know, other people have been hurt.
I believe you're right, though. I believe you're right, though, because, you know, like, you know, a friend of ours, Patricia Carroll, was one that got the the peanuts or whatever throwing at her, saying that something about go back. I mean, this is for animals or something like that. And then, you know, you're seeing them wearing the shirts out plainly, saying, you know, the White House is for white, you know, put the white back in the White House and don't renege and stuff like that. I mean, the fact that they're so brazen about it just tells me that, you know, it does make me fearful. It does make me fearful because, you know, there are some people who are seriously bent on in this country. I mean, if you don't believe that, look at Timothy McVeigh.
Right, right. And that goes back to that entitlement, you know, that we talked about. And I know we're totally off subject, but, you know, these are very, very real situations. And, you know, we just have to keep our eyes and ears open because, again, you have people arming themselves to the teeth. I mean, going to gun shows, you can pretty much go to a gun show and buy, you know, weapons without having to go through the, you know, the standard procedures. In Illinois, you have to have a firearm owner's identification card. And that, you know, once the state police approves you, you have the ability to buy a weapon. But there is a waiting period. So if you go to a store and you purchase a weapon, you have to wait a certain amount of time and it has to be approved by the state. And then you're able to come and pick up your purchase. At the gun show, you're able to buy the weapons and leave with it immediately. So the waiting period isn't there. And so it's interesting. People are making money from this, and I don't want to see anybody get hurt. But anyway, getting back to the conspiracy theories, let's see if 804 is ready to speak. Area code 804, are you there? May we ask
you
to call?
Yes, I am. It was my fault. I had the phone on mute. This is Deborah. Oh. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you, Deborah?
Oh, just fine. I'm enjoying the conversation.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. And, you know, it's a very real conversation in which, you know, like I said, you know, to me, with a lot of the conspiracy theories, it takes on a religious undertone. And, yeah, you know, and just trying to explain that and show that to people, you know, whether they accept it or not, you know, that's on them. But I'm just trying to show them the similarities. And maybe they'll be able to walk away from the show, you know, even if they aren't convinced, you know, I would challenge them to go and do some research and to come back and talk to us about it, you know. And it's just interesting. Just like, you know, with religion, they have faith claims. Over on the conspiracy theory side, you know, they have, you know, also faith claims, if you will, because they want you to believe what they're telling you just because they're telling you these things. And you're supposed to have faith and what they're saying, and faith that, you know, they have the expertise. Like, we had our little bomb and building expert, our school worker, yesterday, and we were supposed to believe it, but yet we went out and found some information about building standards, about, you know, information about steel and how steel is produced and how, you know, there have been some changes, but yet they want you to take what they're saying, you know, to heart. And, you know, take it on faith. So it's interesting, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, they want to call me a sheeple. You can call me a sheeple all you like. I just don't believe all of the conspiracy theories. And I used to be one who did believe in them. But not so much. Not anymore.
And you remember that couple that used to come on late at night? I think they still do, I think. To me, that was a comic strip when they used to tell you about all these conspiracy theories. What was their name?
Oh, you're talking about the guy you're talking about the guy that could recite whole books of the Bible. Him and his wife.
What was their name?
I forget their name, but you know, she was a blonde and he had the white hair. So yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Hal Lindsey. Was it Hal Lindsey? Something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but him and his wife, right.
that to me was, I tell you, when I first saw that, I laughed my butt off. I really did. I said, look at these crazy people. And I think that's, you know, basically, that was years ago. I think basically that's when I just said, this stuff is crazy. You know, it's just made up stuff, you know.
They're selling fear. Yeah, and, you know, they're selling the fear, and people are buying it, and, you know, it's sad, you know, and it's hurtful because, like, a lot of people are being hurt. I look at their families, I look at their children, especially some of these people that I know that are buying gold like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but yet still complaining about other parts of their lives that, oh, I can't afford this, that, any other. And I'm like, you just spent, you know, X amount of money on some gold.
Right.
You didn't think about the fact that you got to eat for the rest of the month. You know, and they're saying that, you know, when the government, you know, implodes and all of that, they want to be able to take care of their family. Because the dollar would not have any value. I mean, I know people that went and traded in their money for euros. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have euros in,
yeah.
you know, in the deposit box. And all it's just crazy. And, you know, if you look at our economy now, you know, over there in Europe, you know, they have one of the most volatile economies right now. And the euro is losing or depreciating. And so you know, a lot of the things that these people believe is just interesting, and I wish them well and I wish them the best because, I mean, we all have something that we believe in, whether we believe in ourselves or believe in some type of boogeyman or some type of deity or what have you, but you got to do the research, and you have to be rational, you have to be reasonable, but again, at the end of the day, they have a right to believe as they see fit. We may not agree with it, and we may be able to present them with facts because, again, as I stated before, you can have your own truth, but you can't have your own facts. And, you know, in that regard, truth is relative.
That's right.
And, yeah, you know, because in this country, you know, having, you know, a basement full of severed heads will get you sent to a nice prison, probably with a lobotomy, right? But in some other countries, you know, having, you know, a shack full of severed heads, that's an honor statement. And, you know, that's how they woo women. That's how they woo their wife or whatever. So it's just, you know, it's just interesting. You know, it just depends on where you are, where that truth is, you know, the truth. And so, I don't know, you know, just looking at all of this,
but it's one thing y'all didn't touch on that I kind of believe. Nobody said anything about people living on other planets.
Well, I don't think that's a conspiracy theory, but that's not the
okay.
one that we were covering today anyway. But,
okay, so you don't. Okay, thank you. You know, some people do, okay? In fact, when I asked it in church, I said, do you think people live in a... That's blasphemy. Oh,
that's
man, that's blasphemy. Oh, they got on my case terrible. I, you know, that's when
I went back to church.
Huh?
I think it's a true sign of arrogance that you would believe that an immortal mortal being would create the entire universe just for you.
You know, but that's what made me, you know, I went back to church. I left church as soon as I got 18. I said, no more church. And then you go through life for about 3 years, and I said, okay, it must be something I'm doing wrong. So when I went back to church, you know, I started really getting into reading and looking at all these crazy stuff in the Bible. And they said, I asked questions, and I would... You don't question God. I got all this stuff. I said, oh, wait a minute, what I done got myself into? Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. I posted a story last week about apparently there's a planet there that's about twice the size of Earth, and I believe they say it's almost made entirely of diamond. And I can hear, you know, some trying to make up some type of conspiracy. That's how God is going to lay down the streets made of gold. It's going to be gold on top of diamonds. We're going to be rich.
Isn't that something? That's weird.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting, but
it's weird,
you know,
it's weird how people be thinking, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, they're going to find a way to get to that planet so they can go ahead and get the diamonds off of it, but that's another story. But, it's, you know, the whole thing is, at the end of the day, people have their own thought processes, they have their own beliefs, and I wish them well with that, and, you know, you can make a conspiracy out of anything. You know, it's just, the whole thing is interesting, and it doesn't help when you do have, like when you brought up earlier, when you have religious people or religious leaders out there in the forefront talking about conspiracy theories and saying this is a conspiracy theory, that's a conspiracy theory. In my opinion, especially the ones that are astute and smart, they know religion is not going to go away in its entirety. It's always going to be some religious people. But they have to find a different way to put a spin on things. And so by kind of segueing, you know, over into the conspiracy theory, is going to help them remain relevant.
Yeah.
Because if you can't sell people on the Trinity or the Godhead or any of that, they will be able to kind of sell them a little bit on the conspiracy theories and tie it in. And that's the other reason why, you know, as I said earlier, you know, it seems as though it's turned into a religion, if you will. So, you know, and, you know, again, it's just interesting. But, you know, I hate the fact that a lot of these conspiracies, you know, they attack the historical truth behind these corporate events. And, you know, to me, it's disrespecting the people that lost their lives. And it's disrespecting, you know, the people that lost, people that they love. And it's also disrespecting, you know, to a certain degree, people in this country for the simple fact, because, again, with the 9/11, I sat there and I witnessed it. And as a matter of fact, I would not go to New York for several years after that because they could not locate all of the bodies. And you know, now, you know, a lot of the emergency workers, they're having issues, medical and health issues because of, you know, what they breathed in. And, you know, that was, you know, another one.
And not just the workers, but people who live close by, too.
Oh, exactly. 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 So, you know, again, you know, if you want to do something, you know, they have all kind of, you know, funds and charities out there that are helping these people with their health care, helping them with mental and physical health care, scholarships for the children that lost parents, counseling for the parents that lost children, because, you know, a lot of people forget that it was a daycare that was there as well, and those children, you know, they die. And I believe the daycare was either on the first or the second floor. And, you know, those babies, those innocent babies, and, you know, again, it's about being compassionate and being understanding. And it doesn't help when you have people, you know, trying to convince you that it was some type of invisible or rogue, you know, family that's, you know, profiting and that's behind all of these things. You know, you just don't realize how hurtful that can be. So, you know, there's that. And on that note, I'm pretty much done with conspiracy theories until part three. We have to discuss what part three is, but there is an upcoming show we're going to do in tandem, Raina and I, and we are going to talk a little bit about, well, not a little bit, but a lot of bit, about Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow.
Oh, wow.
So that's coming up, I believe, either in November or December. We haven't decided on a date yet. I have to get the audio book. But, yeah, so that's coming up because we definitely want to talk about that. And, again, those of you that are out there that vote, time is winding up. Please go get registered to vote. The deadline has passed in the state of Illinois, and I've posted different websites in which you can check to see the registration deadlines in your area. You can see when the early voting starts. Get out there, do some information, do some research. It's important, guys. It is important that you get out here and you vote. And last week, I spoke about how we need to challenge the 501c3s of the ministries and, you know, churches that speak out politically. And I still stand on that. And I say, you know, I put the information on my wall. I'm going to put it up there again after the show. But we need to stay on top of that. We need to start challenging them. You know, you have, you know, different people. I'll see it all on Facebook, all of these status updates, talking about, oh, well, you know, they shouldn't have said that, and I don't believe this, that, and the other, and, you know, tax the church. Okay. Then we need to start reporting them, and we need to start putting some pressure, you know, for them to go in and audit these churches and start challenging those 1-3s. That's what we need to start doing. It's very important that we start doing that. It's extremely important. So, again, I'll put the information up. You know, look up your voter registration information. If you know someone who needs a ride to the polling place, go pick them up, get in line, try to get there early, in and out. If you can vote early, you know, guys, get out there and do that. But, again, you know, and that's for those of you who vote. For the people that don't vote, you know, they have different reasons. And, again, like I said, you know, the other day, I understand why some people have an issue with the Electoral College, because it's been shown to us that it doesn't matter if someone gets the popular vote, that the Electoral College can override, you know, the popular vote. And, you know, that's disconcerting. And, you know, we just have to do better. We have to do better. And, you know, those are things that definitely need to be addressed as well. But if you're just not voting because for no particular reason, then, you know, I'm kind of giving you the side eye. At least have a reason. At least be able to tell me why, you know, we've had people say the Electoral College. You have some people feel that it's like another form of slavery, which I don't necessarily agree with, but at least they
what?
Have a reason.
How is it a form of slavery? When were the slaves ever allowed to vote? That
exactly.
is bogus.
I know, but I'm saying that's the excuse that they've been giving. And, you know, you know, and it's interesting, you know, and also...
I call bull.
Exactly. But, also, you know, I put up an article about how some people that were convicted of felonies, how there are some states that allow felons to vote. As a matter of fact, in a couple of states, Maine and another state, I forget the other state, my apologies there, if a person is in jail, they can vote from jail. So they still have their voting rights. And then there are different processes that you can go through in which you can get your voting rights reinstated. And so, you know, I'm hoping that you all investigated that. And, you know, we have attorneys all over the place. You know, you have the ACLU, you have legal aid, just different, you know, programs out there that can help you write the motion so that you can get your record sealed or have your voting rights reinstated. All of that is out there. So, guys, you know, I hope you did the research investigation and you got out there to do what you need to do in order to vote. And, again, it's not so much about the presidential election, which is extremely important, but, you know, especially with some of the people that are, you know, complaining about the Electoral College, you still have to vote in the school board, you have to vote in the commissioners, the aldermen, your state legislators, and, you know, your federal legislators. And, you know, and people, you know, again, this is basic civics. The president does not make laws. The Congress makes laws.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and your congressmen, your senators, your representatives, they are not elected by the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at the big picture of all of this. And, you know, it's just, it's important, Don. It's important. Get out there. and make a difference and, you know, report these violations, even if you put it on my wall, you know, a pastor, you know, endorsing political, politicians. Just put it on the wall, and we're reporting these people. We're doing what we need to do on our end, and I encourage you to do what you do on your end as well. So anyway, guys, next week's show, we're going to be talking about suicide, and I'm going to post that article again about, you know, atheism and depression and suicide, and I'm going to post some articles about suicide and theists as well, and then we're going to talk about on the show next week about when suicide became a sin and explain how it became a sin, when it became a sin, and why it became a sin. Okay, and it's not what you think. So, you know, I've seen these different, you know, question and answer sessions in which, you know, you'll have ministers, pastors, whomever, saying that suicide is a sin, but they can't really explain it. You know, an interesting thing is that, you know, I always kind of play with them a little bit and ask, well, didn't, you know, especially the ones that believe that Jesus was God, and say, well, didn't God commit suicide? Because he sent himself to die. And, you know, the whole thing about that is real interesting because there was a mega pastor in California, Crenshaw Christian Center, what is that, Frederick Price, and he said something to that effect. And the people were up in arms. As a matter of fact, on another Blog Talk Radio show, they had his son come on, and they scared his son off the show. It was interesting. It was funny, actually. You know, so anyway, guys, again, I thank everybody for calling in. Thank you, William. Thank you, Raina. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Mario, Alfred, Nakomi. Everyone that called in, thank everybody in the chat room and everybody that's going to listen to the archive. I didn't send the invites out this week. Just kind of one of those things this weekend. But for the show next week, definitely we'll get the invites out. Mario, his show is next Friday evening. That information will be posted in the next couple of days. So check out Mario's show. If you all get a chance, please check out yesterday's RSS feed in which we talked about conspiracy theories, 9/11 and JFK, and they got into a little bit more of the technicalities behind it. And, you know, we had a couple of interesting callers and people in the chat room, so you may find that, you know, interesting and entertaining. So, guys, I encourage you to do that. And on that note, we are done and we are out of here. You guys, you have a lovely, lovely weekend. Well, the weekend is over. Have a lovely week, because I know this week is going to be a beast for me. Anyway, you all take care.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye, y'all.
All right.
All right, and that was Amani, the misfit who wrote that song, guys. reach out to him. You can get the information. He has it listed in iTunes as well as on YouTube. So on that note, take care.